This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Researchers are looking into a new rehabilitation treatment for patients suffering from post-COVID syndrome. Those are people who contracted the coronavirus, and while they had mild or moderate symptoms, perhaps, they continue to feel long-term effects. They are commonly called COVID long haulers, and they're now being studied in a partnership involving the University of Dayton and the Pulmonary Wellness Foundation. We're joined today by University of Dayton Assistant Professor of Psychology, Julie Walsh Messenger. Dr. Walsh Messenger, welcome to the program.
Mike, thanks for having me.
And also from the Pulmonary Wellness Foundation, we have Noah Greenspan. Noah, welcome to you.
Thank you so much.
And if you have questions about this, give us a call at 513-419-7100. Dr. Walsh Messenger, this is a study involving COVID long haulers and exercise. Why look into this?
Well, many who have, what we're calling post-COVID syndrome or who are long haulers are experiencing symptoms of what we think is autonomic dysfunction. And so the goal is to essentially use exercise as a way to retrain the autonomic nervous system.
And what type of exercise are we talking about here?
So it's a combination of treadmill exercise with supplemental oxygen. And Dr. Greenspan has been using this in his clinical practice for many years and has adapted his protocol for treatment of long haulers.
Well, Dr. Greenspan, expand upon that. Talk a little bit about what you're able to gather while looking into the impact of these folks while they're exercising.
Sure. So, we've been treating for about the past almost 30 years, cardiovascular patients, respiratory patients, and complex medical patients, patients with multiple medical conditions. And that's basically the description of COVID. When COVID first came out, we thought it was mostly respiratory, 2 weeks, and then you're done. And we know now that that's not true for so many people, these long haulers. So what we try to do is we need to build people back up. But the reasons why people are unable to exercise or unable to go about their everyday activities are not what we would typically think. So chest pain, which is what a lot of COVID patients experience, is not the chest pain that we used to think about pre-COVID. Shortness of breath is not the shortness of breath we used to think about pre-COVID. And same thing with exercise intolerance. So we have to do this in an extremely measured way, because one thing that we know is that post-COVID patients are very prone to overdoing. And so everything we do is very carefully monitored using EKG during exercise, really communicating with patients on a very individualized basis and making changes day to day based upon what they report to us.
You say they're prone to overdoing. Why is that?
So we don't know. That's a massive question, but we don't know. And the answer to most questions about COVID are still, we don't know. But I've seen situations where people can do 3 minutes, they can do 4 minutes, but if they do 4.5 minutes, for whatever reason, they wind up in bed for a week. In fact, 2 years ago, we created an online boot camp for cardiopulmonary patients that we thought would be the perfect solution for post-COVID patients. And we had to completely revamp it because even 4, 5, 6 minute workouts were too vigorous for COVID patients. Whether it has to do with, inflammation or overstimulation of the autonomic nervous system, what we're finding is that there's almost like this cutoff switch where once you overdo it, you have no choice but to kind of wait for things to reset themselves. And in fact, a lot of long haulers who have been challenged, who have really been slow to make progress or who haven't made any progress, very often the treatment is slowing them down and not actually getting them to do more. It's getting them to do less and significantly reduce their activity.
Dr. Walsh Messenger, you're an assistant professor of psychology. Can you talk about how your academic area of expertise plays into this research?
Certainly. So pre-COVID, I actually studied psychopathology. I still do. And one of the primary ways in which I study affective processing in psychopathology is through olfaction. And as we now know, smell loss is a major symptom. In fact, it's really the most specific predictor of COVID-19 positivity. So I became involved in COVID research. And in my role in this study is really looking at the impact of this treatment on mental health and also improvement in cognitive functioning. A lot of long haulers are reporting brain fog, memory impairment, and difficulty with attention, concentration. And so we are looking to see whether or not improving, the autonomic function also improves cognition.
We've been dealing with this pandemic for about a year now. And in the very early days of this, back in March of last year, Dr. Walsh-Messenger, I understand you yourself were sick.
Yes, I got COVID. My symptoms started March 17th. So it's almost a year now. And that's actually how I ended up collaborating with Dr. Greenspan, as I initially reached out to him as a patient and actually went to New York City. And I guess I was there for about 2 months and went through the protocol that we are now studying.
What were your symptoms like? You yourself were a long hauler?
Indeed, yeah. When I first got sick, I lost my sense of smell. I had, some chest tightness, a cough, and then, following week, got a fever, breathing difficulty, and it really just kind of never went away. Eventually, I got past sort of the acute phase, but I continued to have a terrible cough, shortness of breath. I developed tachycardia, so fast heart rate, and hypertension, which I never had prior to COVID. And what, Dr. Greenspan was talking about with exercise intolerance. So I was one of the people that initially he had to kind of get me to slow down before I was ready to start very, very slowly building up, my exercise tolerance.
We're talking with Dr. Julie Walsh-Messenger, an assistant professor of psychology at the University of Dayton, and we're also joined by Dr. Noah Greenspan of the Pulmonary Wellness Foundation. Dr. Greenspan, the focus on the research that you're conducting currently is women. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, so basically a huge number of long haulers, a huge percentage of long haulers are women. We don't know exactly why. We think it's related to something hormonal, obviously, but we don't know. So the other aspect of this is, and one of the beauties of this partnership is I am not a researcher by trade. I am a clinician almost exclusively. And that's where Dr. Messenger, Walsh-Messenger, comes in, because she, brings to this the research skills and knowledge and experience that we would never be able to, get our work out there in the same way. So it's really been, quite fortunate for all of us.
You've already put out a preliminary report on some of your study, and it determines that the results so far, quote, contradict the perception that this yet-to-be-defined post-COVID syndrome predominantly affects middle-aged adults. So is this more spread out across age demographics, Dr. Greenspan?
So, on an average day, like for the past 30 years, my patient's average age was 80, and it wouldn't be unusual to have five people over 95 in the same room. Initially we worried about older patients with pre-existing conditions. And certainly those people, have had some issues related to acute COVID itself, but I haven't seen any long haulers in that category. The overwhelming majority of long haulers are young women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. And then it goes down with each decade after that. The reason why we were so specific in terms of women in, from 18 to 55 who were sick only in these months really has to do with the strength of the research, which I was taught by Dr. Walsh-Messenger, because we want to make sure that we eliminate as many kind of confounding factors as possible.
That's interesting, because what we've learned about COVID so far, and I know you noted earlier that we still have a lot of I don't know as responses to questions about COVID. It's called the novel coronavirus. for a reason, I suppose. But we do know that it, as far as the death count goes, it is more deadly for older people. But it appears, based on what you found related to COVID long haulers, is that people who are younger than that and contract the virus do seem to have these longer impacts. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's really interesting. And there's a lot of theories as to why. But my personal theory is that, you know, think about what was going on in March. So I'm in New York City, okay, where basically all hell was breaking loose. And you were told, you know, unless you are on the brink of death, stay home. Right. If you were in your 70s, 80s, 90s, if you had heart disease, lung disease, et cetera, you were told to come in because we knew you were high risk. Right. But somebody who's 30 years old, who's previously healthy, who's an athlete, who is strong and never been sick before, they were told to go home or stay home, or were not even, they were told they weren't sick enough to be admitted. I mean, only during COVID-19 can you have like 102 fever, shortness of breath, and chest pain and be told you're not sick enough to go to the hospital. My personal experience is that we're seeing less long haulers from people who have been sick lately. And of course, time will tell, but at least there are treatments now that help to mitigate, you know, the degree with which people are getting sick and the severity with which people are getting sick. And maybe had some of the people who, you know, are long haulers now gotten some of those treatments, they wouldn't be long haulers. You know, in addition to just, you know, to mostly women, I would say like 90% of the people that we've seen have gotten sick in March or April. Once we hit May, June, July, treatments were starting to come in and people were being seen. And that might have been just enough to take the edge off that person becoming a long hauler.
That's Dr. Noah Greenspan of the Pulmonary Wellness Foundation. We're also joined by University of Dayton Assistant Professor of Psychology, Dr. Julie Walsh-Messenger. Dr. Walsh-Messenger, based on what Noah just said there, you've got people who appear to contract the virus and suffer from long hauler syndrome because they contracted the virus much earlier during the pandemic. Your study is specifically recruiting people from that time period, right? Like when you contracted it yourself in March of last year. So you're looking for women between the ages of 18 to 55 who contracted COVID in February, March, or April of last year.
Yes, that is correct. And, you know, as Dr. Greenspan just said, in part so that we can eliminate right now, because it's a pilot study, we want to eliminate duration of illness as a potential confound, but also for recruitment, because it's such a small study, you know, we want to make sure that we're able to get participants. And really the group that Dr. Greenspan's seeing and people who are, you know, reaching out about the study got sick during that time and are, you know, predominantly women.
As Dr. Greenspan said, Julie, you're conducting this study together. You're at the University of Dayton. He's in New York City. You're a researcher. You know, you're a professor at a college. Can you talk just in general about what it's like to conduct this type of research during this particular situation in all of our lives?
Yeah, you know, it's been actually a weird year for me. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I got very sick in March, and health-wise, you know, it's been very bumpy, put it that way. But in terms of research, it's never been a more exciting year. And I feel horrible saying that. I wish that it wasn't, you know, a pandemic, it didn't take a pandemic and people, you know, having their lives, lost or uprooted. But, you know, I think the pandemic has caused a real shift in science where, you know, researchers across the world came together very quickly. I'm a member of the Global Consortium for Chemosensory Research. And that group, you know, it's international. We came together within a couple of weeks and launched our first study. And so it really has shifted the pace that science happens. What we did with the GCCR in April, it would have taken a year or two, or maybe never would have even happened because we wouldn't have all come together so quickly.
Unfortunately, we've just run out of time, and I do thank you. And I hope you can come back on when you get more details about what you found here. Dr. Julie Walsh-Messenger and Dr. Noah Greenspan, thank you for the time you gave us.
Thank you so much for having us.
and you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.